I assess it as a valuable experience in one's life, and I hope maybe in the future there wouldn't be any wars and people wouldn't have that experience, but unfortunately people are not that way. And the war being a success in spite of all the casualties, there is a tremendous readjustment when you're discharged from the military service, especially for one who serves in a combat outfit, in a field outfit,
oh,
as they
can
call.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Is an experience, because here for a number of years you've been trained to be a violent person. Mm-hmm. Because they don't teach you nothing constructive, but what you're taught is destructive. The education, physically and theoretically in classes, is trained, you know, to shoot better, to hit better, to kick better, to be more accurate. Devices, how you can burn down a city, how you can kill the people, and so on. So it's an education that at the beginning you might resent a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes self-defense. It's me or him or the other one, or so on. But it is a gradual education that you fight an enemy that is vicious. And I contributed in that respect with classes myself. As I told you at the very beginning, I gave weekly classes for a period of time with manuals to instill hate, actually, in the minds of the
toward
man.
Toward the German?
No, ours was directed against Japan mostly, but it was directed against the Germans too. Mm-hmm. It was directed against fascism. Mm-hmm. Against Italy, it was directed against Germany, especially in our case against Japan, as a partner of the Axis or so on. So it is an education, the better you can destroy, you get medals. For I have a few myself.
Oh, what medals do
I
have?
I have several decorations. I can show them to you after. And you get rewarded a day later if you did the same thing. If you're out of the service, it puts you in jail, it puts you on trial. So the debriefing is actually short. We had a week of debriefing in Fort Devens, Massachusetts, I remember. And basically they tell you there before you're discharged, forget about everything you learned here and try to forget what you did here. It don't work in civilian life. Mm-hmm. You can't run in nobody's house. You're not in enemy territory where you searched each house and a group of soldiers ran in and with a bayonet and a rifle and they smashed everything around in the house looking for weapons or looking for this, made a mess out of it and went away. You can do that. So some people, and it is a problem now with a lot of Vietnamese veterans, that they claim they cannot readjust themselves, and they take to drinking and they take to drugs and in order to support that habit. But I personally had no problems with readjustments. I understood very well without telling me that what we did over there, you can't go around to Pittsburgh, you know, or anywhere else. And then the army establishes law and order. If you come in enemy territory, it might be wild in the first couple of days that people who are angry, you know, you have to understand the soldier. He is angry and anything that don't go his way is going to hit you. Or they'll hit a civilian with the butt end of a rifle or mm-hmm. kick him or whatever. The response don't come quick enough because they're also afraid themselves when you run and you search houses on both mm-hmm. sides of a street. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you'll find inside. So the soldier going in, right, he breaks the door, you know, he don't wait it to open, and runs in there, he's afraid too.
Yes.
So therefore the tempers are high, you know, and they'll do a lot of things which they might realize after it wasn't necessary. And I myself, in many cases, try to temper a small unit. Mm-hmm. Just take it easy, you know. You might do a better job here. Don't be so excited about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's afraid. I say, I'm afraid too. Because they used to hide Japanese in their homes or in the farms down there in the ranches.
Where was this?
In the Philippine Islands,
yes.
Mostly.
Yeah.
So there is a readjustment, but I say I don't think World War II veterans had a big problem for readjustment, for the simple fact is that they won the war.
Mm-hmm.
And they came from a war that was lost, and there was so much opposition to the Vietnam War at college campuses and other people. I know when we came to San Francisco, you know, there were thousands of people at the pier cheering, flowers, you know, and a band was playing, and, you know, the reception was tremendous. From the Red Cross, all the gray ladies, they called them with coffee and donuts and food, and there was such a jubilation that made a person feel good. A week later, we had a parade down there in San Francisco on the main drag. I can't think of the name right now. And people were throwing confetti, you know, even candy, you know, mm-hmm. at the soldiers. So it was a feeling, you know, that you did a job and you did it well, and you accepted back into the civilian community or so
yes.
on. That's what helped the readjustment for most of them, you know. And the Vietnam problem was that they were not received well. People looked at them. Another problem was that the war was fought on television, you know, the World War II. The army by themselves, the Corps of Engineers, they take pictures from everything too. They film all that stuff and they have it in archives. They might show a little bit of what they used to show in the news. If you before television, if you went to the movies, they gave you highlights.
Mm-hmm.
But the soldiers in World War II didn't do any different than they did, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But people didn't see it. Here you saw what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
That was another, people couldn't stomach it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there was so much opposition
mm-hmm.
to it.
But you yourself did not have any problem
in
the
I didn't have any problems. I well understood, you know, that we went over there in order to take a place you had to destroy it. There isn't
mm-hmm.
the Filipinos who supposedly were allies. They hated the American soldiers more than they hated the Japanese. And their explanation was that the Japanese took everything peacefully, because in 1941, when the war began, the Americans couldn't offer any resistance. There were only troops in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And when that fell, they didn't fight along because America was not prepared for war with them. So America was on their own, and Japanese came from island to island, and there was more than 1,000 of them there, and they took it all.
Mm-hmm.
And they came farther and took practically everything as far as Hawaii, because America could not resist. So they were entrenched there and fortified. And then it took in 19, at the end of 42, 43 actually, when it really began the big campaign, in order to get there, you had to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get on an island unless you destroy it to a certain degree. So it were the Americans to say that burnt everything down.
I see. Yes. Yeah. Well, do you have anything else to add?
I think you covered it fairly well, as I say, nobody else. If you want to see, I'll show you that.
Mr. Koss is showing us his decorations and medals, which he earned in during World War II in the American Army. But you'll have to tell us what
yeah,
they are.
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Right now. Peace is a good conduct medal. And to be eligible for it, you have to have 3 years of service first. Then you have to have good conduct. That means that you've never been disciplined. And whatever you have to soldier well, otherwise you don't get it. Very
yes.
few get it. When I got this year, I was the only one in the company that had it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Among 100 men. And that was given to me with a big fanfare. The
yeah.
company was out, and the band was playing, and a high-ranking officer came and pinned it on me.
Oh, my.
See, each one of it has a ribbon too, you know.
Yes.
You can,
And the ribbon is different for each medal.
This is a victory medal.
A victory medal?
Yeah.
And what is this awarded for?
Awarded for winning the war.
I see. And did every soldier get that on discharge? Or
not,
when
not,
do you...
not everyone. They have a record of the men, those who they felt contributed most.
I see.
Well, you've got a collection of them.
Mr. Kuss, do you ever wear these at Jewish war veterans meetings, for example?
Sometime one of it or so, you know. I had a lot of ribbons, you know, set up all together, and I gave it away to a boy one time. He wanted it. This here is an Asiatic Pacific medal.
Yeah, Asiatic Pacific campaign.
Everyone that was in the air in that area got. This is the American campaign.
And why were you awarded this?
I believe everyone got this one here.
I see, yeah. You mentioned that you had some ribbons from your medals and you gave them away. Who did you give them to and why?
I have ribbons like this, you know. Every boxer got duplicates, you
I
know.
I see.
And the boy said one time, he wondered if it was 8 minutes.
One of your students?
Yeah.
I see.
He said, he'll keep it, you know. I said, go ahead.
Yes.
I have another one. I don't know.
Another medal. Well, we've seen four. That's all.
At least once in a while I look at it.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, if we have anything else to ask or
how's your husband feeling? All right. Last time I think he was sick when you were here.
Yes, I.